Welcome to the Faith Church Peshtigo podcast. You can connect with us online at faithpeshtigo.com. We're also on Facebook. Just search for Faith Church Peshtigo. Today's podcast features a conversation between Pastor Jeff and Pastor Robbie.
Hello, Faith Church family, and welcome to another podcast, Thursday edition. This week, it's me, Jeff, along with my guest, Robbie.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for listening today.
Hey, Robbie, good to be with you.
It is good, as always, to be with you, Jeff. I enjoyed last week, so I'm glad to be back.
I did too. And what a beautiful day we have on this Thursday.
It is a delightful day. And I think we can appreciate a little bit more because we had those few sweltering days. And so now these glorious days with a nice cool breeze are fantastic.
They are. This is like the best days of summer kind of days.
This is what I was told it was like pretty much all summer when Jay was convincing me to move to Northeast Wisconsin. So days like the previous two Sundays, last Sunday was fantastic.
Amazing.
But the two Sundays before that were a little rough and it felt a little more Texas than it did Wisconsin, to be honest.
Yes, it definitely did not feel like Wisconsin to me either. So abnormal. Well, today we're going to continue what we started last Thursday with practical things. And we had some really good feedback on that. So Robbie, thank you for making things so practical and doable for people. It was fun to talk about that with you.
I really enjoyed talking about that and looking forward to picking your brain a little bit about some of those things today.
Yeah. So today our plan is to pick up basically the sermon on Sunday. Jay continued our series on the promise on praying the scriptures, praying the Bible. And he focused on praying promises of God. And specifically, he narrowed it down to the presence of God and that God promises that he is with us. And then Robbie, on Tuesday's podcast, you guys talked a lot more about the specifics of that vision and that promise. I wondered if you could just start, before we get into the practicals of how to do that in real, like our actual lives, could you just summarize a bit about the vision for what does it mean, like, to live in the presence of God, and what is that promise for
us? Yeah, I'd be happy to. If you didn't hear that podcast, I would encourage you to stop this one right now and go back and listen to that one so that you have a little bit more context. If you did listen to it, then just as a little refresher, Jay and I talked about his message, talking through praying God's promises. And as you just said, Jeff, how those promises ultimately all culminate in one form of another in God's presence, that's where it all ends, that he is with us, that we get to be with him. And so really praying God's promises ultimately is praying for more of God's presence, if we can oversimplify that a little bit. And it's an important distinction is that we're not praying, when we're praying for God's presence, we're not praying that something would happen that isn't currently real, right? It's not that that his presence is away from us right now, and in praying for him to fulfill his promises of his presence, we're asking him to show up, right? And sometimes we'll even do that. We'll say, yes, God, we want you to show up here today, as though he is someplace else giving attention somewhere else, and we want him to start paying attention to us, which is a wholly unbiblical understanding of God and completely erroneous understanding that his presence is always here, always with us. What we're ultimately praying for is a greater awareness of this thing that is already all around us, already influencing us. And coming out of that conversation on Tuesday, you and I, Jeff, fill in the people who are not a part of our daily conversations here at the office. We were just talking about what does that look like practically? So even if we come away from Tuesday and say, yes, I want that. I want God more than I want his stuff. I want more of God more than I want him to just fix my circumstances. But how do I do that?
Yes.
And I love that our tendency around here is to start with scripture and say, okay, so where would I find that in scripture? Is there scripture that I can memorize that points me to that? And you mentioned a few that came immediately to mind. What were those?
So one of them is one that Jay had us look at on Sunday too, which Isaiah 41:10, which says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Just at the very beginning of that one, you can hear it so clearly. Fear not, for I am with you. And then another one that sounds, I mean, it really sounds like a repeat, actually, is Jesus. It's the last sentence in Matthew 28:20. He says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So you have this Isaiah 41:10, where God is saying, fear not, for I am with you. And then you have Jesus saying, I am with you always. Those are promises.
Almost like it's said by the same person.
Yes.
One might even say.
Yes, exactly. The I am who came in the flesh. And that's another idea, actually, that when Jesus is announced, like the beginning of Matthew, he is called Emmanuel. And actually, we don't even have to look up what Emmanuel means, because Matthew includes it in there.
Very convenient.
In parentheses in our English translations, God with us. The good news is that God is with us, and he's come in the flesh, and he's now present and promises to be with us all the time. And like what you just said, I think is super profound as well. That is a truth, no matter if we feel it and experience it or not. God is with us.
Yeah.
I think I was telling you earlier this morning, I was walking around Marinette and just praying for the city downtown. And I found myself praying, God, would you fill this city and this area with your spirit? And I had a moment where I felt, I don't know if that's the right prayer for me to pray in that moment. I think God has filled it. He is here. He is present. God,
certainly.
Would you make us aware of what you're doing and what you're at work doing in this place?
Yes.
That's what we need to be asking him, right? He's already here. He's not left. He's very close.
Right. Help me to see what you're already doing all around me. Help clear the distractions. Help clear the noise so that I can actually hear your voice. I can actually see your activity in me and all around me.
Yes. And the reason that we start with these are sentences, right? These promises that we find in God's word is that we know that our experience changes. Like we change, our emotions change, how much sleep we got last night changes. So our experience of this reality of God's presence can change day to day or even moment to moment. Mm. There are some days I know for myself personally where I am very, very aware God is near me right now and I'm experiencing his presence. And there are other days where I don't feel that and he has not left me. But that's why I know for me, and I would encourage everyone listening, that's why we need to start with these basic fundamental truths like Isaiah 41:10 or Matthew 18:20. And I would recommend people actually commit them to memory so that they are just in us. They just become part of our thinking and our being, because we have them, so that on the day when I wonder, where is he? Where is God? I can be reminded his spirit, I believe, uses those things that we stored up in our heart, and they come to mind.
So I think you stumbled on the first of our practical steps there. Memorizing scripture is an extraordinary step in helping to practice his presence, because if I don't have it in my mind, I can't bring it to the forefront of my mind, right?
Yes.
If I don't remember it, if I don't know it, then it's not something that I can pull from. And so often, that's where it starts. It starts with that, wait a minute, but scripture says, I will never leave you or forsake you, which means he has not left me. He's right here, right now. And that's the starting point where then I go, all right, well then why am I missing that? What do I need to do? Help me out a little bit, Jeff. Help me, give me some practical steps. What does it look like for me? How do you answer? If I come to you and I say, like, I agree intellectually with all of that, but I don't, what am I supposed to do? How do I, as Brother Lawrence said years and years ago, how do I practice the presence of God? How do I get set up the rhythm of my life in such a way where I can begin to eliminate some of these distractions and see what he's doing, hear from him, and be able to interact with him in a more tangible way?
Right. That's a huge question. And I want to just preface everything that I say that we say today with, this isn't exhaustive.
Amen.
And every person, you know, our different wirings will mean that probably different things will help us. But hopefully we'll share something today that each person can try I think the first step is just to recognize there is something we can do.
Yeah.
To be honest.
That's like, huge.
If I find myself thinking I don't experience his presence, the next thought can be, but that's a, like, there's hope. By God's Spirit, by dependent action that we take, I believe we can actually increase our awareness and our experience of his presence, which I think is an amazing truth and a very helpful thing. So we already mentioned memorizing scripture. I just want to say a couple more sentences about memorizing scripture.
Can I just touch really quick on how much I love that phrase you just threw in there, dependent action?
Yeah.
I think that's such a helpful phrase, that it is, I am relying on him in every step of this. Yes. So at no point is God saying, look, I'm waiting on you to get your act together, and if you could just do A, B, and C, well, then I'll be able to do this. I am utterly dependent on him in all of that. The way a professor and theologian, D.A. Carson, put it, that was always helpful for me, was he referred to it as grace-driven action.
Yes.
So it is that dependent activity of it's effort, or grace-driven effort, rather. It's, I'm putting forth this effort, but every bit of it is empowered by, driven by, motivated by the one that I'm dependent on.
Yes.
So, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just want to touch. I thought that's a really helpful phrase.
It is. And if we get that.
Dependent action.
It is. And I think that whole concept is, I mean, I believe even my desire to be in his presence is his work in me. So like from beginning to end, our experience of him is actually his love towards us and his grace to move in us in that direction. But yeah, I think it was about to say with scripture memory, I just wanted to say that this is very obvious, I know, but how do I do that for myself? Like if I wanted to memorize Isaiah 41:10, for example, what would I do? This is my process. I look at it. I get my Bible. I actually like to have a physical Bible out when I'm memorizing. I don't mind using an app when I'm reading occasionally, but I do think of having a physical Bible in front of me, and I will literally read out loud while my eyes are focused, laser focused on the words I'm reading. I'll read the sentence out loud 10 times while reading it and looking at it, just 10 times. And then after my 10th time of looking at it and saying it, I will look away and try to say it. And as soon as I get to a point, maybe I reach the first comma and I can't remember what's next, I look at it and I finish it. And I find for myself, at least, if I read it out loud 10 times looking at it, and then I try to recite it 10 times without looking at it, by the end, like by basically my 20th time saying that sentence, I have most of it or all of it. And I will do that for a day, and then the next day I do it again. And if I'm trying to memorize multiple verses, like maybe I want to do a chapter, I'm working on Psalm 103 right now, I will just add a verse to that pattern every day. So the first day it's 103 verse 1, 20 times, 10 times looking, 10 times not. The next day I review it 10 times, the one I already knew, and then I do the same pattern with the second verse. So it's not fast for me, at least, but I find if I do that repetitively, I actually really am learning that verse, and I'm meditating on it as I do it. It really sticks with me.
That's super practical.
Yeah. So hopefully it wasn't too granular, but I think it can help to hear what works for people.
So next time this comes up, I'll give you my method of memorization, which could not be more different because my brain functions so differently. I'm a memory palace guy. So I am wandering through the childhood home that I grew up in and visualizing everything. And that's how I remember. So that is not for this podcast.
Well, let's do that next week or the week after or something, because I think that'd be helpful for people to hear.
Other ways to memorize. Yeah, I think so. Too often we default to, well, I'm not good at memorizing stuff, which I am the chief of sinners in that regard. I'm horrible at remembering things. Ask my wife how good I am at remembering things. Mm-hmm. It is the thorn in my flesh. But all that means is I just have to be more creative in figuring out, well, then how do I overcome this particular obstacle? I'm not a guy with a photographic memory, at least not in the classical superpower sense.
Me either.
so what means do we use? Do we use these tools like you expressed of this, the repetition and rote memory, or do we tie those things to images? It's not, can I memorize or can I not? It's, what is the best means for me to do that?
Yeah, some people make songs, right? Some people draw pictures. Yeah. I mean, the beautiful thing is that God gave us minds and brains in each other. We can help each other figure it out. I mean, I haven't met anyone who finds scripture memory easy. I really haven't. I mean, the idea that I could read a chapter and just recite it back to you after reading it once, there's very few people who can do that. So there's work involved. Yeah. But yeah, that would be the first step, I think, is committing some of these promises about his presence to memory so that they can be in your heart and in your mind throughout the day. I think the next thing would be setting aside time that you've planned on to be in God's presence very intentionally, where you are being aware of his presence. And what you're doing when you do that is you're basically moving your attention towards God. Robbie, you and I read a book together, and this author talked about attention leading to awareness. So when we have attention on something, like I was just telling Robbie kind of hilariously, something in my office that I don't like that I noticed yesterday, a decoration, has been there for the last 6 months. Correct. And it wasn't until
the day you moved in.
Until yesterday that I noticed it and thought, I think I want to change that part of my office. To which Jay said, you haven't seen that before? I said, no, I didn't notice it. I had literally no attention drawn to it. So I walked in and out every day. Now that my attention is there, I have awareness and I want to change the thing.
Which I'm thankful for, because I notice it every single time I walk in your office, and it's been troubling me for 6 months. So I'm glad we're all finally on the same page.
That is such a funny part of my wiring. I didn't even notice it. But not as funny as if I was doing that with God. If I just was walking by him every day, his presence in my life, and I had just no attention on it. So setting aside even like 7 minutes in the morning and saying, as I sip my coffee, I'm going to open up his word and I'm going to read a paragraph or two, and then I'm going to spend a few minutes praying. It's really not much time, but I think that set aside time of focusing attention on God, I know for myself, it increases the likelihood that throughout my day, my attention will go on God. And as my attention is drawn to him, I find it much more likely that I'm going to be aware of his presence in some way.
Certainly, because what we put our attention and intention into is what our mind is fixated on. It's the lens that we're going to see things through. That absolutely affects the rest of our day. It sets the tone for our day. And I love that you bring that up, because it is that idea of setting aside specific time. It has to be an intentional decision to put that sort of focused attention on God, or it doesn't happen. I can even walk through the rhythm of kind of my quiet time in the morning and not actually have the intention of having my attention on God, right? It's my intention is getting through the reading for the day, or, you know, writing in the journal, or planning out the, you know, whatever it is, or even scripture memorization. Like if it's strictly just to accomplish this task, I can do all that and completely miss the God that I'm supposed to be interacting with in that. So I love you stressing that idea of attention and an intentional awareness on who I'm trying to connect with through these activities.
Yes. Thanks for pointing out too that all of these things, actually, if we focus on the things themselves, just can actually distract us from God.
Right.
Right?
It's a little counterintuitive, right? It is. Like your study of the Bible can actually distract you from God if you're not careful, if you're not being intentional in that.
Which is part of why I'm so excited we're doing this whole summer on praying the scriptures.
Yeah.
Because prayer is actually a relational thing. It doesn't happen unless there's two people involved.
It is. Right? It's a conversation. Mm-hmm.
And so if we start to approach scripture more and more and more prayerfully, that means we're going to be approaching it more and more relationally with God. And scripture can become a means to connection with the living God.
Yes.
And that's what it's for. It's not just so we can fill our heads with knowledge, although knowledge is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's knowledge in relationship with God. So I think that's what we're describing here with this daily time with him. And one encouragement I would have is, if that's not a habit for you yet, start with 7 minutes. Start with, you know, a 1 minute of I'm sitting silently before God. I take some time 3 minutes to read some scripture, and I spend 3 minutes praying for the day. It can be that simple. And just starting to do that daily, I can't guarantee it, but I almost can guarantee if you start doing that every day, every morning, your awareness of God's presence in your life will grow. You will start to become aware of the truth that He is always with you. And it's part of our part, like we were talking about. God is here, and we can, dependent on His Spirit, make decisions and take actions that can increase our awareness of His presence.
Yeah. Love that. I love that. Jeff, thanks so much for that. I think that's really helpful. For a quick recap, three practical steps of how we can practice the presence of God. Number one, recognize that there is something that we can do. I think that's really helpful to not feel helpless in that, but to know I can actually take steps in moving towards that. Number two, memorizing scripture. And I appreciate your helpful example of how you go about doing that. And then number three, setting aside that specific time in order to do that. Such simple things. And maybe to you hear that and you go, oh, that's awesome. That's way easier than I thought. I can start doing that right now. Or maybe you hear that and you think, ah, it can't be that easy. I just echo what Jeff said a minute ago, that if you just at least start there, I am willing to guarantee that you will be shocked by the impact that that can have. And certainly we would want you to grow from that place, and that it would not only 7 minutes a day, but you would find yourself moment to moment throughout the day continuing to grow in your practice of His presence and understanding that He is all around you in constant interaction with Him. But to just start somewhere in those simple things can have such an extraordinary impact.
Yeah, and one thing I almost forgot to add, if you heard those steps and you feel like, I've already tried that, and I still just don't feel like He's near, I know Robbie would love to talk with you personally. I think
absolutely.
Even our hilarious difference of how we memorize scripture is a really good illustration of how a person will experience God's presence will be different too, yes, based on wiring. So we are both happy to meet with you if that's where you are, even over Zoom. Like, we can do this virtually and start talking through what would work and what could actually bring you a greater awareness. Because I know for myself, not knowing that God is near me and not experiencing that isn't an option anymore, because now I know what it's like and how different my life is. A friend of mine, Vic, told me years ago, Jeff, the main job that we have as followers of Jesus every day is to adjust ourselves to the reality that we live in God's presence. And I really took that to heart, and it seems like it's been true. And I know when I start my day and live my day knowing that that's my main job, even as I do my other jobs, you know, my other callings, everything is different. Even when it's not easy, it's different in a very good way.
Man, that's a great way to finish this podcast. I'm not going to say anything and ruin that, other than thank you so much for listening. We love you, church. It is our honor and our privilege to serve you. And please let us know if you have any questions, if you have any feedback, any follow-up to this. As Jeff said, we would love to talk to you. And if you don't know how to get a hold of us, easiest way probably is either call the church office or you can go to faithpeshtigo.com, and on our staff page, just click on our big faces there and it'll open up a window to email us directly. We would love to hear from you. We love you, church, and thanks for listening.